Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they absolutely got it right. Here on Liberty Works Radio Network, where liberty does work for you, and this is your host, Tom Navolis, and I have a good friend of mine here with me this week is Ted Farmer from Arizona.
All the way up from the desert.
Yeah, and so we're going to have some fun today. We're going to talk about a few different things, some of the recent topics. One of the things that I really wanted to talk to Ted about are, because Ted has been, so the RRR, and has been, you were, Tea correct. Party leader.
Correct.
Yeah, for Sun City.
That is correct.
All right. So we're going to talk about what the heck's going on with the Tea Parties. As you know, I'm the Geauga County Tea Party president here in Geauga County, Ohio, and there's just a lot trying to get the citizenry going, and it's just challenges, and you've been traveling all over the U.S. for the last year.
I have, since December.
Yeah, so that just, you know, you've seen a lot of different folks, a lot of different places. I mean, you weren't out looking for tea parties, but
not necessarily.
Breweries, yes.
Yeah.
Tea parties, no, so... it'll be interesting, just a perspective of the different things you've seen in those travels.
Great.
All right. So one of the things I wanted to cover, I know that all of you, and we've talked about it before, we've seen the Google Snoogle and all the other, you know, Bondoogles that are out there. And I'm sure from Thursday, Breitbart had up an article that is just all over the place, is the released secret, or not so secret anymore, Google tape. And it's a 60 minutes of footage, as I'm reading it here, of these, what I call them, the techno-oligarchs, and their struggles here for electronic or election aftermath, and how they vow to save the world from catastrophic nationalism. So a comment that I put up on Twitter with that today, Ted, was that I said, this is exactly what we have with legal immigration and students that went to these leftist universities, indoctrinated in all of the insanities at these universities, became citizens for the most part. A lot of the employees at all these technology companies have become citizens.
Correct.
But they have gone through a whole godless educational program. And even with that, they've gone through a program contrary to anything that our founders talked about on taking and having people inculcated in foundational truths and principles. And with that, that they would fully 100% assimilate into what it means to be an American. I just said, what do you expect?
That's right.
You know, what are we going to get other than what we're seeing happen?
You were going to get nothing, and it's been coming on for 4 or 5 generations.
Yeah, yeah. So when we see that, I mean, you guys down there, University of Arizona has a real mix of technology, medical. I mean, they're really known for, you know, the medical side as well,
right,
as some of the high tech side. And I know when I was down there and talking with some of the folks out of there, it was just some real difficult trying to find any decent, you know, patriotic teachers at the university.
Yeah, they're pretty much non-existent.
Yeah.
And if they do exist, they have to hide it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So when we come, folks, to what we see here with all of this high tech stuff, you know, I just have to say, and as I've said in other programs, you know, what do you expect when you don't have people that have the real value systems that we have? So when you look at that video, and I encourage you to go to Breitbart and find that video, I'll put the link to it, or I have put the link to it in the section down below, and you'll see it on the YouTube section as well. For all of the references, so that you can figure out what's going on and watch it. It's an hour-long video, I started to watch it, but it was like one of those things where my hair caught on fire. I thought it was going to turn as red as Kathy's with going on fire like that. And I figured, I can't afford to lose it. So
that's right. Maybe that's what happened to me.
Yeah, you got so upset with all the things you were dealing with down there in Arizona.
That's
it just
right.
Lit you so far up. Yeah.
Correct.
Oh my goodness. So let's talk about Arizona a little bit. And just
right.
kind of segue over there. I know you've been on the road for quite a while, but also I know that, you stay very close in contact with what's happening, a lot of folks. What I would like to step back and start with is when, okay. just when before I came down, you guys were doing a recall on John McCain.
Correct. It wasn't actually a recall. It was a censure
okay.
by the Republican Party.
Okay.
Yes.
And that did go through.
That did happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just kind of shunned it off.
Well, not only did he shun it off, there was some retribution dished out.
Uh-huh.
It was tough for a while for the conservative wing. You could never prove anything, but it was the handwriting was on the wall.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that he may have retired had we not done that.
Really?
And I think it just gave him the impetus to stick it to us.
Wow.
To come back and get us.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's just vindictive as all.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really interesting to me that as strong and the experiences I had in Arizona the time, because we were down there, I think, about 6-8 months. So in that 8-month time frame that we were down there, I just saw a lot of patriots, but at the same time, especially in that eastern section of, east side.
Right.
I forget the name of the area out there, but, the east of Phoenix.
Right.
They seemed like they were all more establishment Republicans and had a very deep wealth base to them.
Correct. Yeah, that was true.
Yeah.
It was split sort of the north east and the east side of Phoenix were more establishment types, where on the west side once you got out of Phoenix pretty staunch conservatives,
mm-hmm.
and in our district it was unheard of. A lot of times the Democrats wouldn't even run.
Yeah.
However, that's changed a lot.
I bet. Yeah. Yeah. They've gotten more emboldened with Flake and with what McCain was doing.
That right.
Because their thought processes and policies were more in alignment with Flake and McCain than they are with the conservative movement.
Correct.
Did you have some demographic changes there as well in those districts?
In our district, LD21, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
You get out of the Sun City area and Surprise mm-hmm. into Peoria. It's getting younger and younger.
Okay. Yeah, because that's where our daughter lived for a while, was down there in Peoria and that.
Right.
And, we saw a large mixed demographic there. So, yeah.
Right.
And then with having all of those sports facilities around there, that was, I'm sure, an interesting draw
Correct.
For a lot of folks. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's happening now? What do you think? Okay, Kelly Ward got kind of blown out. This young lady that's running in her stead, how do you think that race is going to go?
Well, I tell you, if you believe the polls, and sometimes I do, but most of the times I don't, they're neck and neck.
Yeah.
I mean, they're within 1% of each other, and
mm-hmm.
with 3% undecided, which is really shocking and unheard of in the area.
Yeah.
McSally pulled one off. She's in a district that was pretty blue, and she won
mm-hmm.
To be in the House. But, wow, I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm.
In our own congressional district, CD8, Debbie Lesko won the primary,
mm-hmm.
and she only... won by like 5% over the Democrat.
My, yeah.
And I can't pronounce her name, be honest with you. Yeah. But which was a Democrat. Shock, and that encouraged the Democrats.
Yeah.
They can sure. see blood in the water.
Yeah.
And, of course, on the national scene, trying to take the House back, they are pouring just tons of money in our little LD down there.
Yeah.
So wow. Debbie's got a fight. She's slightly ahead.
Yeah.
But in Arizona, registered Republicans have about a 10% lead over registered Democrats.
Mm.
But that's sort of changing. They are out for blood.
Sure.
As mad as we were when the Tea Party started, they're that mad now.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to be aware of that.
Yeah. And get that, you know, that's the biggest issue, I think, everywhere in every state right now is, you know, what it's going to be required to get out the vote.
Correct.
And it's not where we can sit on our laurels because, you know, Trump is absolutely correct. Even more important than the 2016 is this 2018 election.
No question.
This midterm, you know, far outshadows the 2010. We did a big thing there, but, you know, to maintain anything and, you know, like you and I've talked before, I'm not a Republican in party denomination, if you
right.
will. But even with that, it's one of the only choices that we have. So we have to run people appropriately. And that means what we have to do, folks, is we have to continue to vet people out. We have to continue to raise them up. We have to be able to develop those candidates and support them. So that's always the hardest part for us to understand and do, is to be able to take and raise up the next generation of those that can fill the empty seats in office.
Absolutely.
You know, we've go ahead.
That's our biggest obligation, is to bring, I don't necessarily have to be young, but bring bright conservatives into the party. And we've got a couple going in LD21, and I'm extremely proud of.
Excellent.
So,
yeah.
So we, that's our job.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what we have to do.
Exactly. And I know in the other markets that Liberty Works Radio Network reaches out to, especially in the East Coast markets through Maryland and even down into Tennessee and Georgia, you know, we've got some many, many things that are going on there. Maryland's, you know, you guys always have a tough fight in everything that you're doing. And it just is amazing that we have so many good patriots there in Maryland to take care of things. So there's a couple things that are happening. We have a hurricane that is, you know, just slamming the East Coast right now. Our prayers go out to everybody. We know that the evacuations were put into effect early in the week so that we could minimize all of the damage, but there's going to be just massive damage. I think that thing's slamming in at what, Category 4 plus.
Yeah, that's. I think they're saying it's going to quickly downgrade, but it's bringing huge, huge amounts of water, storm surge, and rain.
Yeah, and when you get that backing up into those mountains and all of that stuff in the valleys, boy, we're in a mess. So, you know what, if you can handle something, we can't get the Cajun Navy up here necessarily, but you know what, Maryland and the Carolinas, you guys have something similar to that. We've got a lot of patriots out there. West Virginia, I'd encourage you, if you have that opportunity and the wherewithal to do it, to go down and help as you can help. We've kind of got too many things going on up here. Otherwise, it's close enough, I'd be heading down to help out, but I can ask you to do so, and that's where America really stands strong, is when we get together, we work together as a people and take care of one another. We really don't need government. We become dependent on government to do all this stuff, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the next segment, but it's really about people helping people.
Right. And I'm RVing, and if anyone out there has a driveway, an empty lot where you can let the folks evacuate to, please do.
Yep.
Keep the RVers in your mind.
All right. And with that, we'll see you back in the next segment of Samuel Adams Returns, Those Anti-Federalists. They did. They got it right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to this second segment of Samuel Adams Returns, Those Anti-Federalists. They absolutely got it right here on Liberty Works Radio Network, where liberty, boy, does it ever work for you. And, you know, I always take this opportunity in the second segment, Ted, and my good friend Ted Farmer from Arizona is visiting with us. And we're just going to, you know, as we did in the first segment, just chatted away, and we're going to continue to do that. But, you know, I plug Liberty Works Radio Network.
Of course.
Yeah, these guys have been doing for years some really, really good stuff. They've got a lot of, they have live programming all week long. And so it's, you know, it's just been really good. So we usually encourage folks, if you can, check out the rest of the programming. And then definitely, if you're willing and the opportunity is there for you, hit that donate button and throw a couple ducats in the buckets. But, yeah, they're just a bunch of great folks there. One of the things that we left the last segment with was, number one, I thought it was very important as we were talking about the hurricane and what you brought about the RVers.
Right.
I want to just say that again because I want people to capture that again here in this segment.
Sure. A lot of times, one segment of the population that seems to be forgotten are those transient people, the RVers, especially full-time RVers. They've been down there having a great time. Now the storm's coming in. Where do they go? And I saw on one of the websites I used this morning, people are offering up their driveway, their empty lots, mm-hmm. places in their neighborhoods well away from the storm. So these folks will also have a place to go. And that's important. You know, most of us travel with animals.
Right.
So in addition to our motorhome and our family, we have our critters with us and need a place to go.
Good.
And I stopped here.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, and we're delighted. It's just been we've had a really fantastic time. Ted's been here for a couple of days, and his lovely wife Corrine, and this is some of the most enjoyable times we've had. Kathy and I've had for you know, a number of months, and all the insanities that have been going on.
Yeah, and of course we didn't talk politics at all.
No, not in the least bit. I mean, that, you know, we just kept our minds clear of that,
Of course.
Oh, right.
Right.
I can't imagine a 2-minute conversation without kind of, you know, chasing a rabbit down some hole.
Oh, that's true. You know, it's on top of our minds. I mean, what's happening to our country? How do you put it away? I can't put it away.
No. And it's interesting because, you know, I don't know about you where, you know, growing up, but I know there were many a times that, people in the, you get together, family gatherings or friends and all of that, you know, you always heard it said, two things you don't talk about is religion and politics.
Correct.
But I cannot remember as a youth a time that the politics didn't come up, because most of the people were all of the same, you know, religion.
Correct.
But the politics, and even in the family, you always had that disassociation between one party or the other, and you know, why did people believe what they believed? And did same experiences?
Same experience, and there's a huge difference between then and now.
Yes.
Back then, you were allowed to have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And now you don't.
Yeah.
It's, there could be some hard feelings at the family reunion, but we all got over it and hugged and all that.
Right.
Now you lose friends and long-term relationships you have, and some of the family don't talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, you're just not allowed your opinion.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, you know, from that whole perspective is that especially, you know, and I think you guys were expressing it from this last trip, you know, Southern Ohio while you were down
right.
there, is that when family came in and they were all college educated, West Coast college educated in particular,
right.
let's put it that way. We won't name names.
Correct.
We'll just say West Coast college educated, which is no different than East Coast college educated or wherever college educated. And the experiences that you were talking about, some that we, you know, we all interact with, especially with, you know, the millennial generation the most, is that they're, they, for being so-called tolerant, they're absolutely intolerant of other points of views that go back to foundational truths.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, as a matter of fact, the founding fathers are evil. They were rich slave owners. You know, that's all you ever hear. And with the tearing down of statues and everything that's going on, lack of free speech on college campuses, I made a special effort to go see Mount Rushmore this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll happen in my lifetime, but my fear is national landmarks like that are going to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I, you know, is that an overreaction? I don't think so with what I see going on.
Yeah. Well, look at, you know, just down in Georgia, I'm sure that the left nuts are hoping that the mountain gets wiped out down there.
Oh, absolutely.
There. You know, they're probably going, you know, let's see if the hurricane can chisel,
yeah,
you know, all of that off the granite face. That's
right.
Like, at least that's what their mentality
absolutely
is to that extent. And then when we get into those types of conversations, like you're saying, it's, wow, how it all comes down to indoctrination.
Correct.
And that's why I like using the term inculcate, because that's what our founders said we should be doing. So we should be doing that with students, but in the foundational truths and principles.
Correct.
Whereas instead, we're being inculcated in socialism, communism, neo-communism.
Right.
These kids are getting stuff that's like, really?
Yeah.
How's that working for us?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit older than you. A couple days, probably.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, a couple days.
But it would be hard to imagine as few as 10 years ago
mm-hmm.
that someone would actually come out and run on a socialist agenda and be popular.
I know. And just
I can't relate to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we saw, you know, the hidden socialist with Obama in 08.
Sure.
And, you know, we reacted in 2010. But to actually, I mean, he was pure Alinskyite. We've seen it happening in congressional seats for years.
Yes.
And I think that the other one that is no longer shocking because it's happening are all of the Muslims that are running and in some cases are very, very close to being elected.
Sure.
Well, we have, what's his name, Ellison. He's a Muslim and he's in there and he's a radical.
Right.
So the shock is like people aren't shocked anymore.
No, they're not shocked at all.
And I think that's, you know, that's just a travesty for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. We have so much that when we start looking at all these things that I know that the founders are just blown away because I always say, you know, as we talk about Sam Adams.
Right.
Oh, so I got to tell everybody. Can I
sure
tell them?
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
So I'm going to let you clarify it, but I want everybody to know that, you know, Ted is a brewer. He owned a brewery for quite a while. And one of the things I am honored to say, as you well know, I get out there as Sam Adams in character, and everybody always asks, oh, yeah, you brew beer, and I have to correct that historically. No, he was not a brewer. He was a malter. So he roasted the malt for those that would do the brewing.
Right.
Whole different animal, whole different thing. This, my friend Ted, is an actual brewer, and he kicked Sam Adams Brewery, the modern one's, backside with one of their top brews.
It's Utopias, which they come out with, I think, every 5 years, a specialty beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's bumps around 20% alcohol by volume
mm-hmm.
and sells for $125 a bottle.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate.
Wow. Wow.
It was funny. It was... in the brew competition, it was a national competition, and I won a gold medal, and Sam Adams Utopias, two different years, won silver and bronze. So the brews paper writer come to interview me,
mm-hmm.
and he says, Ted, he says, congratulations, you know, that's really something. He says, well, what do you sell that beer for? And I said, a hell of a lot more than I did yesterday.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, I think we were probably selling ours for $12 a bottle, which was high.
Yeah. Yeah, but you
for
know,
the market.
Sure.
But yeah. Not 125.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, so you know, I have with me a great personality and a gold medal winner, so I'm delighted with that. But it gets back to the same thing when we look at the whole idea of how things get communicated, and where, let's say, okay, something's really good, market drives it, but yet where certain things can become overinflated.
Correct.
And they become overinflated because of what happens with the communication cycle and the marketing side of it. So I think when we look at socialism in America and, you know, trying to draw us back
sure.
into that conversation. So here you have a nutcase like, what's that Commodian? I call him a Commodian. What's his name, Kat? The one that
Jim Carrey?
Yeah, John Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey. John Carrey's about the same thing, though. He's another
Comedian.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a something else, socialist. But anyway, Jim Carrey saying that, you know, everybody should go, especially the Democrats, need to flip over to being all socialist.
Embrace socialism, he says.
Embrace it.
That's the best possible thing could happen for us.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, I think the guy's really played too many crazy parts in the movie.
I think so.
Yeah. He just has no sense of reality whatsoever and what that means. Or it's like I mentioned to a bunch of them. I think you and I were talking about it. I think he needs to move to Venezuela.
Absolutely.
You know, with no money. He can't take his money with
Correct.
Him. He needs to go down to Venezuela
yeah.
and experience what those
yeah,
folks
Yeah, Cuba's
experience.
Too good for him.
I think so.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Do. I think, yeah, Cuba is way too good for
Too them. Many nice 55 Chevys and Fords down there.
Well, they have some of those in Venezuela.
Well, yeah, but
know,
they're still
rum. Yeah. But Cuba's got the real run on them, that's for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, that's just amazing. So, yeah, so we're seeing all these different things that are happening, and just we're coming to our closing couple minutes here.
Sure.
Let's tee it up for the last segment.
Okay.
What happened to, what's going on short to the Tea Parties in Arizona? What's going on there?
Well, the Tea Parties are getting fewer and further between.
My goodness.
I personally attribute that to the fact that even though we put a lot of conservatives in Congress, they've been ineffective. People are disillusioned. Yeah, I vote for these guys, and it doesn't get the job done.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't put enough of the good guys in.
Right.
And it's going to take an overwhelming majority, not mm-hmm. just a few here and there.
Right.
So, like I said earlier, the Democrats are mad, and they are as mad as we were back at the start of the Tea Parties.
Yeah.
And should we ignore that, it's going to be at our own peril.
Yeah.
So our Tea Party in Sun City folded. We folded into the Surprise Tea Party, and those are the guys that, with Sheriff Joe, took on the birther issue.
Mm-hmm.
They have since folded. Our friends a little bit north and central, Dave and Francine Ronsberg with their Tea Party, refused to quit.
Oh, yeah,
she said, if two people show up, I don't care.
Yeah,
we are going to meet on Wednesday, and we're going to get the message out.
Right.
And they are working extremely hard.
Yes.
Up north of Phoenix, 100 miles up in Gila County, they're going strong up there.
Yeah.
So it just depends on where, but it seems like the bigger, maybe the larger communities, and not the bigger cities, the Tea Parties are going to have to rebuild.
Yes. Yeah. That's some of what, you know, we're seeing as well. I know here in Ohio, it's been real interesting. I know when we left Washington, that is all collapsed except for the same thing, just a couple that are going. And, you know, we'll kind of circle back on some of those. But really, you know, for all you folks that are out there, and as we're talking about this and we're getting ready to close out this segment, we have to look at what the Tea Parties are doing again, because we're going to talk about some taxation and especially with the levies and how important it is that citizens groups, I don't care what you call yourself, but a citizens group needs to form and come together to fight these things, because Sam Adams said you have to do it, and the anti-federalists, they absolutely got it right here on Liberty Works Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this last segment here at Liberty Works Radio Network with Tom Navolas, your host, and my friend Ted Farmer, as we're going to kind of wrap up here talking about or trying to keep it on track, because we're just having fun. We didn't script anything right. or that. But during a break, what we were talking about is a little bit more on GOP crossover votes down in Arizona is something that's happening. What we saw here in this county, the Democrats cross over because the person running for county commissioner as a Republican is really a Democrat.
Right.
So the fraud from crossover vote is what I call it, the crossover fraud.
Right.
Is really phenomenal. But I think the real thing, as we were talking about, and from my thought process that's happening in Arizona, may happen in other states, is the younger people you were saying are they're talking about that? The polls are showing they're crossing over?
No, they're staying with the Democrats.
Okay. But yeah. GOP younger people
yes.
are crossing over.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So what Ted and I were talking about was what we see everywhere, and I think this is the hardest part, and this is the part that the Republicans have done to themselves, and the establishment and the neocons have really built that piece of it, is party over principles.
Correct.
And wasn't that what we were all about in 2010, was principle over party?
Absolutely.
So that kind of picks up from what we were talking about in the last segment, that Tea Parties, citizens groups, whatever they want, citizens action groups that are going to be of a conservative nature versus what we're seeing that the Democrats are doing with all the socialists and all of that, that we need to get those principled people overshadowing the nonsense in the parties.
Correct.
But we haven't done good at that, have we?
No, we really haven't. I am very pleased with the amount of young people that come into the LD office and to our meetings. It seems like there's a break from the millennials to the ones that are slightly younger,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Are coming back more to founding principles, if you yeah. want to say that.
Yeah, yeah. That's something that I saw in surveys and in looking at what's going on in what's called the Z generation now.
Right.
So these kids, I think the statistic that I've used in other times that I've talked in programs is that they're like 60% more conservative than the millennials are.
Right.
And this is something that we haven't seen in 40, 50 years.
Right.
So that's very encouraging. And I'm glad you're seeing them come into the office like you are.
Yeah. You know, one place where principles count is the abortion issue,
mm-hmm.
or baby killing issue. And if you read the surveys across the country, the younger people are more and more saying, no, we think that that's not the right thing to do.
Sure.
So, and that's yeah. encouraging.
That is. I think some of them are looking at it, I know that the brainiacs are looking at it from a demographic perspective.
Right.
They're sitting there going, well, wait a minute. If we take and, we start looking at these increased abortions, who's going to be the population that's going to pay for our Social Security yeah. if it exists?
Well, bring them in from elsewhere.
Yeah, well, and they're not paying for it. They're using it.
That's right.
That's the really crazy tough part about all of that. So, yeah, it's extremely interesting, and I know now is that wild-haired, crazy guy Zinke in your LD?
Oh yeah, he is. He is an RLD. He was in our Tea Party, and he is a volunteer at the LD21 office. He and Violet Vi.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so we're giving old Dennis Zinke, who his cousin is actually the Secretary of the Interior.
Correct, Ryan Zinke.
Yep,
Brian. Former Navy SEAL.
Yep, yep.
Good guy all around.
Yeah. And it's hilarious because when you, it's like the first time I saw them together, I had to fall on the floor and laugh.
Yeah.
Because, here's Ryan, this guy that's about 6 foot tall or,
six, four, probably.
Yeah. I mean, he's a monster of a guy. And here's Dennis. He's just, if Dennis is 5'5", he's all of that. But great guy, great patriot. I mean, just amazing. And Ryan's doing a bang up job. Tough place to be. And working on interior and all of that. Everybody in the Trump administration is just getting hammered.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that this judge hammered on Betsy DeVos yesterday. On Wednesday, I think
right.
it was. Yeah. I mean, she was trying to correct some things. And so we have liberal and even establishment judges. I say them the George Bush judges are all colluding to take and slam on trying to roll back and do some decent policy shifts.
Right.
So, it makes it very, very difficult. And wow. But go ahead. You got something on your mind?
No, I'm good. I back to the Tea Party and the founding. You know, our friend Dennis Zinke, the reason he got involved in politics, he was, not into politics whatsoever until the Tea Party started and Obamacare started, and it scared the death out of him. Mm-hmm. And he's one that's not going away. I mean, he's not one of the quitters.
That's right.
Dennis, as long as he's got a breath in his body, he's going to fight the battle with us.
That's right. Yeah.
And we need more of those.
Right. And we need more of those, younger than us.
Much younger than us.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
And that goes back to what we were talking about with the younger folks. Hopefully what we can do is not, I think this is the real challenge for everybody out there that's listening, is that what we have to look at, what is it that is going to light their hair on fire? And I think this whole thing in talking about levies and talking about they can't buy a house because they can't afford a house because the taxes on the house exceed what their minimum income requirements are, and then what it's doing to the rest of us that are either on fixed income, and you folks that have large portfolios, when you take and you go do something else, I don't care how your portfolios perform, and you're on a fixed income.
Right.
And I know people that have wonderful portfolios, but they're coming and complaining to me, we're paying $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year, on our property taxes, and that is just crazy. Can they afford it? Well, maybe, but why? And
right.
So I think that's what I'm hearing and what some of us other folks in Northeast Ohio are hearing from young people is that it goes to that whole unaffordability of housing no matter what age you are.
It really is. And I mentioned a little earlier that we're getting some bright young folks in the LD meetings. And that's been the rallying cry.
Mm-hmm.
They have helped us fight the levies in the area.
Yeah.
And that's what got their attention.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good. Yeah. So I call it, unlike the original Sam Adams out there screaming taxation without representation, what we have is taxation with bad representation.
Right.
So that's at every level of governance. It's not just at the federal level. And Sam Adams always talked about all government is local. So when we have to really look at that, what that means in driving that home to people, it has to start with what we're doing locally, how do people really understand the makeup, the design of what a levy is, or how it even should come to the ballot.
Right. And that's what's getting their attention. And we have hammered into them, you may not be able to do anything about some of the national issues, but you can vote the members in and out of the school boards.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that's coming forth with the levies.
Right.
And let's get the right people on. So we have started recruiting, looking for, and vetting school board candidates.
Perfect.
And that's what's going to have to happen.
Yeah. I think in every state across the union, what we see is schools are the greatest consumers of the property taxes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I know that here in Ohio, and in this county in particular, it's like 49% of the property tax is all going to schools. And we in our school district, I'm sure you've heard it on the program before because you are a listener, is that we got hit with a 38-year bond issue to build a new school. And it just is, I mean, it's just a heavy hit for this particular school district. But, and what's really, to me, is that we didn't understand it soon enough when it started happening, because state, according to the state, they had to go and manipulate to go to 38 years, because according to this Ohio Revised Code, the maximum a bond issue is supposed to go is 20 years.
Right.
So I have no clue on what happened. And I think I shared with you that paper from what Texas is trying to do.
Yeah, and their portion is like 53% of the taxes go to schools.
So, yeah. And I know that Kathy just saw some things come in from our friends up in Spokane, John Charleston and his wife, and what they're doing up there with that Tea Party is that they're taking on in Spokane County. Because, again, the school board is coming and just hammering on more money. And it comes down to, do you really need the money? So what I am doing in part three of what I'm writing for Geauga County on taxation is looking at that inside millage that we have no ability to vote on, because that is what the legislatures, and I think in most states, they set that.
Right.
But then the question is, to those that look at the levies for outside millage, what are their responsibilities in trying to find out whether those taxing authorities really need the money?
Right.
In the paper, and I'll share it with you because I haven't given you a copy with it. Kathy just did some corrections. in the paper is that I call what we have in Ohio in every county is the revenue board, if you will.
Right.
I call them a bunch of bobbleheads because all they do is they go, so they, you know, these guys submit these levies from all these taxing authorities and they just bounce their heads. They don't do their fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayer and go back and say, do you need the money? And we know here, and I'm sure you do as well, that there are townships, schools, other taxing authorities that are there, or subdivisions as they're called, they've got money on the books.
Right.
And they may not be even using that money correctly, let alone taking and requiring or needing any more money. Ted, Kathy's just showing us that we got last 2 minutes. Why don't you give us a minute summary of some your last thoughts, and then
it's back down to the local school boards, and I know each state is different. In Arizona, you hear the rallying cry: the teachers are the most underpaid, and we want to raise a sales tax, or we want to get more revenue for the teachers. Well, the little-known fact is the state legislature doesn't direct the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a local school district. So what happens is levies are voted in. It's supposed to go to the classroom, teachers, but to the classroom, and it ends up in administrative staff and that type of thing. You know, the principals each have three vice principals, and then they all have a staff. Yeah. And that's what's gobbling the money up, and it's not getting to the classroom. So my thoughts are, I encourage everyone, go to a school board meeting, understand, pry the budgets out of their cold, dead hands, because they don't want to give it to you.
Right.
And understand what's going on.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated once you peel the onion back.
Right.
And you can see where the money's going, or in our case, where it's not going.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think everybody that's really what has to happen is that we have to get responsibility back in government, and school boards are government entities by virtue of how they come about under the state legislature, and that when we look at that, they're not going to give us the information. We got to go take it from them. And in taking it from them, you may have to file a lawsuit to get it in a FIA. So come on back next week, and we're going to have some more fun when Samuel Adams returns and those anti-federalists, they got it right. And Ted, thank you so much for, you know, being here. We've enjoyed the trip, and we'll see you next time you come back.